Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Colombo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Colombo.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose, Rose Colombo, right here for you on Colombo Chronicles and the Justice Club. And just this little 15-minute short will be, did Governor Gavin Newsom sell out California to China's mafia? And how is that constitutional, legal, and lawful? Under the United States Constitution, real estate laws, espionage laws, and any other laws that require the parties to be, I would assume, non-foreign enemy nations who have threatened to conquer our nation or to attack us, or involve potential criminal aspects or persons involved in the sale of property on United States homeland. So this is an important article, and it addresses this information taken from the book, Blood Money. It raises the question why Governor Gavin Newsom appears to have been selling out to Triad, which is tied to the Chinese mafia, and sold in the state of California, which we must assume can be a huge threat to the small business owners in California. So how is this affecting our U.S. constitutional laws regarding espionage, selling out to foreign enemy nations who threaten to attack us, as well as crimes that may include illegal or unlawful sales to foreign enemy nations who are antithetical to the United States constitutional freedom, rights, and liberty, and secure borders, and freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of travel, because in their country they have the Merit Act that oppresses and suppresses and depresses people based on their credit rating. So this is what's happening now as we are seeing the open borders that are causing influx of gang, cartel members, spies from China, fentanyl from China, flooding in, gun smuggling, human organ trafficking, rapes, murders. Last week there was a baby and four different teenage girls who I happened to read about who were all raped or murdered by illegals. So let's talk about, did Gavin Newsom sell out California to China's mafia? See what happened. Breitbart, Blood Money, Gavin Newsom partnered with Triad, linked businessman on initiative that brought Chinese mafia-linked business to California. Why would he do that? Was it legal, constitutional, and lawful to do this? Governor Gavin Newsom, Democrat from California, partnered with a Chinese Communist Party-tied businessman, allegedly connected to the Triad, on an endeavor that brought Chinese mafia-linked businesses to California's Bay Area when Newsom served as San Francisco's mayor. Peter Schweitzer reveals in his new book, Blood Money, why the powerful turn a blind eye while China kills American. Schweitzer reveals in Blood Money that Newsom has had links to Chinese organized crime through his connections to known Triad members, and that these connections go beyond the Chinese San Francisco Chinese SF initiative that Newsom launched in 2008, which was when Barack Hussein Obama was running for President of the United States, who had also stated that he was too inexperienced to be a President of the United States. But after he was elected, he announced immediately that he was going to fundamentally change America in 5 days. And Michelle Obama said this was the first time in her entire life she was proud of America. Interesting, isn't it, how all of this has evolved? So here we have this initiative, China SF initiative that Newsom launched in 2008. While Barack Hussein Obama was running for President of the United States, no one even knew him or who he was or anything about him. But they chanted, yes, we can, yes, we can, yes, he can, yes, he can. And they did not ask, yes, he can do what? Yes, we can do what if we elect a stranger in the night? So Newsom launched in 2008 to bring Chinese businesses to San Francisco. Why would he do that? In approximately 2011, in that range of time, I was in San Francisco, and I was shocked to see the Chinese naval ships with missiles pointing, which one of the American men pointed out that was not legal in our country to do, and asking why were Chinese naval ships docked in San Francisco. So that would have been about 3 years later, after Obama ran for president in 2008. And while Governor Newsom was making deals with the connections he had with the Chinese Communist Party tied businessman. All interesting that how all this was evolving in America under the noses of the American people, who were not asking questions about what were these Chinese naval ships doing in the San Francisco Bay. Well, maybe they had given them the authority to travel through our international waters and walk on our soil in San Francisco, because according to the book Blood Money, Governor Gavin Newsom, as the mayor of San Francisco, was doing business with the Communist Party tied businessman connected to the triad that brought Chinese mafia-linked businesses to San Francisco. So if people don't really wake up and realize you have to go to the past to figure out how we got to the present, you will never understand or care how we are being taken over, it appears, by China, Ukraine, Russia, Middle East, Iran, and on it goes. And now we have the Venezuelan and the Chilean members of organized criminal syndicates inside our country. And many of them have long rap sheets of horrifying criminal activities in their countries, and now their countries are emptying out their homelands and sending them over to our homeland and refusing to take them back after being deported. So we have the mafia, we have the organized criminal members of serious, dangerous dudes who belong to these gangs and cartels and jihadist extremist organizations inside our country because of our elected officials. No other reason. Who refuse to secure the border and refuse to stop doing business with organized criminal mafia organizations, apparently, selling us out to foreign enemy nations, it does appear, according to the research and the published books. Schweitzer, a New York Times best-selling author whose investigative work has led to bombshell revelations of corruption among America's elite highlights, Newsom's relationship with Chinese businessman Vincent Low, L-O, who served as the co-chairman of China SF and the president of the Council for the Promotion and Development of Yangtze. Schweitzer describes China SF as an ambitious effort to make the Bay Area the premier U.S. gate Chinese companies expanding into the North American market. Schweitzer writes in his book, Blood Money, China SF was highly favorable to the Chinese entities involved. Any investment they made in an American company would grant them intellectual property rights. That's very serious. They granted them what products and inventions were developed in the United States of America. They were granting them these intellectual property rights that belonged in America to Americans. And these products were stamped made in America. But after they granted them the international intellectual property, that means they could stamp them made in China, which wasn't really true. They were not originally made in China. They were made in the USA with better quality and using slave labor in China for this technology to be developed over there so they could violate our international waterway laws by President Bill Clinton allowing them to do so and calling it legal, which it is not. And that's why we have the yellow fringe around the flag with the knotted rope and three gold tassels. And also, that's why we have international water laws to protect our sovereignty and our citizens from any attacks or from having AK-47 smuggled into the United States in California, which is what happened after Clinton tried to give the Long Beach port and the Long Beach Naval Base to the Chinese leader at that time, around 1995 or so, or 1993, 94, 95, in that time frame. And an American activist exposed it, and he was able to get hearings, Senate hearings on that issue. And instead of giving away our Long Beach port and our naval base tariff-free to the communist foreign enemy nation, he leased it, according to the reports I read. And I don't know, have they ever paid a penny to lease the Long Beach Naval Base and the Long Beach port to import products that were made in the USA, imported back to China, made in China, through slave labor stamped made in China and imported back into the USA to be sold to the American people. Does that make any sense to anyone? Any American, elderly, senior, baby boomers, anyone over 40 years of age? Does that make any sense? It makes no sense. And it borders on espionage, but they called it outsourcing and globalism. Yeah, that's what they did. So a lot of this, these ties to communist China began under the Clinton regime. And there were allegations that Bill Clinton was taking bribes to hold state dinners with raising the communist flag on American soil at the White House when he entertained them and allegedly gave him a tour of national security and the White House at that time that he was in office. So a lot of these connections to communist China were brought about at that time. And he continued after that, obviously, into 2024, as we're witnessing. So after they were able to access the Long Beach Naval Base and port, they were caught smuggling in AK-47. And when they got caught and they had to be stopped from doing so, and that's how those AK-47s got into the hands of the inner cities and the kids in the inner cities, it was because of our government and the open border policies and the ports being opened up to communist foreign enemy nations, and later on under Obama through the Middle East anti-American extremist organizations. And now today we have the Venezuelan and the Chilean members of the organized criminal syndicate inside our country. And now we also apparently are finding out that we also have ties to the Chinese mafia buying up real estate in America. Very interesting, is it not? So, see, nothing happens by chance or coincidence. It's all by secret deals made behind the veil, and the American people are the last to find out until it's too late, and they no longer have a country or freedom or liberty or rights or sovereignty. A country without borders is not a country. It is not a sovereign country. It is not a republic. It is just an open land with unidentified nomads coming through from around the world. They're coming from Afghanistan. They're coming from Africa. They're coming from Iran. They're coming from Saudi. They're coming from Palestine. They're coming from Mexico, Venezuela, Chile. And it's just an open free-for-all. And most recently in New York, they were beating up the police because these are dangerous dudes. They didn't come here to assimilate, which is required by law in the USA. They came here for the freebies. They came here because they knew our government was harboring, aiding, abetting, funding, and giving up hotels to them with maid service and allowing them to beat up our police officers and allowing them to go free after they have already committed even acts of rape or murder and not be deported into their own country. And we don't even know how many are actually being raped on the way to kids and women being raped and trafficked to Mexico and to the U.S. borders. We don't know how many have diseases, measles, hepatitis C, COVID, whatever, because they aren't checking them for anything. And then we have the squad complaining that we are caging them. Well, they aren't caged because we have 100,000 children or 85,000 children rising to 100,000 if this continues, that our government or any other government who allows these people to be trafficked, to be trafficking into the USA from their countries, have no idea where these kids are. Somebody knows, but our government doesn't know. How do 85,000 children go missing? They haven't closed the borders. They haven't closed the rural airstrips. They haven't closed the open port because they're also coming by boat. They don't come through TSA because then they have to be vetted, and only the American people appear to be vetted today. You have to have an iris scan. You have to have a facial scan. You have to have a body nick and body x-ray. You don't even know the levels of the radiation. But it doesn't matter because all radiation is dangerous. It's dangerous to the human body. That's why your doctor and dentist cover up your body and only x-ray that certain part that's unhealthy, and they get out of the room quickly and push the button because they don't want their healthy bodies to be radiated. We're at the airport without medical techs, and we have no idea what the radiation levels are, not that it matters, because radiation can cause cancer. It can cause the free radicals to eat up your good white cells. It can cause cataracts. It can cause aging. And it can cause the stunting of little kids, the growth of little kids, and stunt their growth. And it can cause cancer, which causes eventually death. So is it a depopulation program? Was the radiation dumped into the oceans in Japan actually an accident? Or were they being punished? Or was it another depopulation program? So these are the things we have to wonder about. These are the things we have to ponder about, things that we need to talk about, and these are the things we need to know. Because it's a matter of life and death. And believe it or not, there is and there are and was, is and are, depopulation programs. If you read and research, you can read Lockstep, which is written by the Rothschilds, if you can still find it online. And they lay it all out. There's the Georgia Guidestone. And there is the sustainable plan for globalism that requires depopulation under Agenda 21, which is under the United Nations agendas. And it appears that many of our leaders around the world, especially in Europe, Canada, America, Mexico, New Zealand, and Australia are all on board with reducing the population of their natural-born citizens and naturalized citizens, which would be the goal of 50% depopulation by 2030 and 90% depopulation by 2050. Some of these New World Order old-timers are passing away, like Org Rothschild just passed away, and Henry Kissinger just passed away not long ago. George Soros is 92 and doesn't look too healthy. Klaus Schwab is in his late 80s, I believe. And so I don't think they're going to make it to see their fruits of their labor to reduce the population by 50% by 2050, unless they're very lucky, or 90% by 2050. So the damage they're doing to humanity is horrendous. It's horrendous. It's evil, and they are playing God, and they want to have power, control, wealth, your wealth too, whatever it is, they want it, and it doesn't matter how much you have, they want it, and they want to take away your freedom, your rights, your liberty. They want to turn America into a socialist nation so that the government controls you and tells you what to do, which Obama made a speech about that and said that Americans are too small-minded to take care of their own selves. So they need, basically, not verbatim, but they need the government to take care of them. Well, the government's plan to take care of you includes, if you look on the map and you do your research, FEMA camp. And Klaus Schwab said that the population of survivors will be eating bugs, own nothing, like Stalin and all the rest of the Hitler and all the rest of the tyrants and evil ones that came along throughout history and killed millions and millions and millions of people, innocent people, because they wanted to, and no one stopped them. No one stopped them because they are sociopaths, narcissists, and psychopaths. They have no conscience, and they believe that what they are doing is for the better good of the planet, not for humanity. They intend to use AI, artificial intelligence, to take away your freedom, rights, and liberties, which they're already doing. In America, they are actually violating constitutional rights of privacy because they have no authority to go into your computer and spy on you or your television or your phone, but they're doing it anyway. So everyone who is involved is in violation of the Constitution, which is the United States supreme laws of the land. In this great republic, that was to operate by the rule of law. But under the Obama regime, he said that the Constitution was meaningless, Congress was meaningless. He didn't need them to make laws because he had a pen and a phone, and he would make laws by executive order. Well, that is not part of his five duties as President of the United States. He had five duties, all presidents do, and that's all they have. Congress is the only body that can make bills, write them, review them, and then approve them or not approve them, pass them on to the Senate for approval, and then it goes to the president to either approve or null and void. But he didn't use that process. He is the first president of the United States, to my knowledge, to begin making law and taking over the jobs of the Congress and the Senate by using executive orders, which were never intended to make laws, according to congressional members who stood up on the House floor and were ignored when they said executive orders were not intended to make laws. Only Congress can make laws. But it continued. And the next thing you know, we were mandated to sign up for what was a private industry, the healthcare insurance with group insurance that caused the workers of huge corporations to pay a minimal amount for health care for themselves and their family and get excellent care, true group care. That was wiped out because of Obamacare. Now, no one asked Obama, how did you write 2,700 pages of laws, mandates, regulations, fines, taxes, punishments between January and April when they voted on it? Congress, it takes them a year or more to write a law, one law, to review it, to edit it, to talk about it, debate, before they even put it to a vote. But how did he write 2,700 pages between January and April and put it to a vote? Well, Congress said they didn't read it, so did Obama read it? How did he write it and read 2,700 pages? I'm a writer. I'm an author. By the way, you can read my book, Obamasaurus, The Legend of How the Judeo-Christian Dinosaur Nation Was Depopulated and Suffered Extinction, which is a political, fictional satire with funny pictures and a message at the end of the book. And as I tell everyone, it is not just a book. It is a message for the world. And one critic said, when readers read this book and they get to the end, they're going to ask themselves about our humanity and our survival, be very concerned. And other critics and agents have stated, this book is brilliant, it's clever, it's genius, and it's global, and people need to see it on film. And it has been considered for film, because you do need to read it, you do need to see it, and you do need to share it. And on that note, I'm going to take just a little break here, and I'll be right back.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Be sure to order it from your bookstore or Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com. It's in hardcover, paperback, and in Kindle. And please go back and write a review and five-star it if you enjoyed reading Obamasaurus, and you too can become proactive and try to save our humanity.
The Justice Club is back on Colombo Chronicles live podcast. Join Rose Colombo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, we're back, and this is the Justice Club on Colombo Chronicles. I am the Rose, Rose Colombo. I am a legendary advocate for justice who started a grassroots movement 30 years ago and created a nonprofit foundation, and I have proposed laws to legislators in California and nationally that have been implemented. I have also created and written a constitutional amendment to the California Constitution that was approved by the United States Attorney, California Attorney General's Office. And hopefully I will still get it on the ballot that will hold public servants accountable or intentionally persecuting and harassing, harming innocent Americans for political, personal, or financial gain. So let's see here. Blood Money, yes, that's the book. Why the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye While China Kills Americans. That's by Peter Schweitzer. And yes, and what it's about is Gavin Newsom's part with the triad linked of businessman, and how he brought Chinese mafia linked business to California. So that was not exposed until the Peter Schweitzer wrote the book, Blood Money. And so let's take a look at a little more about this issue. In 2010, Newsom announced that he was bringing the headquarters of a Chinese energy company called GCI Poly to San Francisco. Now, I'm very interested in this because, as we know, the Biden's son and Pelosi's son were involved with the energy companies in Ukraine, and they were on the board of directors, and neither one of them, to my knowledge, had any experience in energy. And Nancy Pelosi was the Speaker of the House. She became extremely wealthy, engaging in insider trading and nearly $200 million while still receiving $150,000 or more for her position from the taxpayers, lifetime pension, vacations, travel, using military planes to fly her back and forth to San Francisco at taxpayers' expense and the military's as well. And it goes on and on and on with the abuses of our tax dollars, and no one cared. Well, you need to care. Care because they're selling out our country. Selling us out to the Ukraine, which is one of the most corrupt countries in the world. They have underground facilities with these labs. We're not the only ones. China has underground facilities with these labs, experimenting on creating the superhuman. That's why they're collecting your DNA at the airports and your strand of hair. If you haven't had that happen, oh, aren't you lucky? So what is happening is that the people who believe that they are the elite and the powerful and that they're going to live forever and they're doing things that are immoral, unethical, illegal in many cases, and are selling out our nation, our homeland, to China and the Arab world. You need to wake up for your children and your grandchildren and future generations, because we're on the verge of not having a country. You don't have a country with no borders. It's a borderless land. If you have no laws and you have laws that you ignore and don't enforce, but you allow foreigners to come in and swear on a foreign book of ideologies that have a religion and laws that are bonded together and can't be separated, and that is their roots since they were a child, and that is who they're pledging their allegiance to, there's something wrong. When they're placing their hand on a red book, whether it's a communist Chinese manifesto or another foreign antithetical book of religion and laws bonded together that pledges their allegiance to their own homeland. Not to the United States of America or the United States Constitution or assimilation, because guess what? Immigration requires assimilation. Immigration into the USA requires that the law enforcers enforce the law, and they're not, because they have their hands tied by higher powers and they don't want to lose their jobs because they need to feed their families. So you can't blame them. You can't blame our law enforcers whose hands were tied in 2009, who said they can't question any of these foreigners from the Middle East coming into our country or from Mexico or Venezuela or Chile or any of these crime-ridden countries and communist countries. We are not all one. We are not all equal. We don't all believe the same things. We don't eat the same foods. We don't dress alike. We don't have the same cultures, religion, beliefs, and we're all different, and that's what makes the world unique. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying we are all different, and our countries are all different. And everybody that's born in a sovereign nation to a race or an ethnicity loves their country and their countrymen and their fellow citizens. And every country defends them except America. America is a melting pot. America was owned by the Native American Indians, the American Native. All of a sudden, the word Indian became a bad word. It's not a bad word. They're beautiful people. And they were abused, and tribes were made extinct. So if you think that they can't make Europeans and Americans extinct, or Canadians that are born on their soil, you're wrong. They made many, many tribes before, after man was created, and they developed these villages, and these barbarians would go in and wipe out all the men and kidnap the women and children and enslave them. This is not new. We are not that safe when we have open borders And we have leaders who refuse to follow the Constitution, which says that they are to use the military and the militia to defend our borders. Well, we are being forced to defend everybody else's borders around the world except ours. We must have at least 50 million unidentified foreigners who are illegally in our country who came for the freebies. And now these people who are telling us that legal is illegal and illegal is legal need to be removed from office. What is right is wrong, and what is wrong is right. They have turned our laws upside down. You cannot have justice if you are not enforcing the laws of the United States Constitution, which require legal immigration, vetting, ground checks, health care checks, and testing and assimilation. We have people who didn't come here to assimilate. They came here to get whatever they can get from the American, hardworking American taxpayers. While the taxpayers are suffering, the middle class is losing their property. They're losing their freedom, liberty, and rights. They're losing their small businesses. They lost their small businesses during those unconstitutional lockdowns, forcing everyone to take, to be jabbed with experimental injections with a trade secret formula by Pfizer. You didn't even know what was being injected into your body. And they had a long list of direct adverse health effects, which it even included death, damage you for life, and they didn't disclose it. And they lied about the mRNA. And later Gates came out after everyone was jabbed and said, yes, it does alter your DNA. So America, wake up. Wake up and protect yourself and your children and protect fellow Americans from this invasion of what the FBI says is at least 50%, mostly healthy males entering our country who are gang members, cartel members, jihadists, terrorist traffickers, and Americans are being killed, not only by rapes and murder, but by fentanyl. So God bless you. God bless America. I hope you wake up. It may even be too late. I've been doing this for a very long time, informing the American people. Please get my book, read it, and share it.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world, written with an Orwellian twist. Will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Well, my friends, time flies, and now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Colombo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Colombo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.
Sacrificial fool by terrorists. Because if you're a critical thinker, then you have to ask yourself some very serious questions about the pro-Palestinian movement. For example, you're constantly hearing about the $80 million AIPAC spends on lobbying efforts. But why is it that the $3.2 billion spent by Qatar dictating your education to radicalism not a concern for you? Because surely if the argument here is money, shouldn't a 3,900% greater spend raise an eyebrow? Or how can it be that if you're an advocate for sexual equality, that you support the execution of LGBT members? Because again, the argument is sexual equality, what the Palestinian people and radical Islam is doing to LGBT members should really make you sit back and think again. And lastly, as a human rights advocate, you've been marching in the street for years with hundreds of thousands of civilians from Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, Libya, but the reality is you haven't. Have you asked yourself why you are now, especially when the number is so significantly less? It's not easy to acknowledge that you've been played. None of us ever want to believe that that's the case. But if you ask yourselves these very difficult questions and try to think beyond the propaganda you've been fed for years, it's inevitably going to be the only conclusion you can come to. And here's the good news. It's not too late to open your eyes and to wake up to the truth. This is...
Wow.
Just that violence out there in Portland, it's also drugs. I'm going to show you what they're doing right now with the city council and also with the state legislature. This was the pioneering drug law, Measure 110, that passed in 2020. The idea was more rehab, less jail time, okay? 58% in Oregon voted for in 2020. Now, as of last August, the poll they did, those against it, the number is just about even at 56%. I'll show you what's going on here. What they did was they wanted to issue citations, right? If you are busted for possession, it's $100, right? That's the fine for drug possession. Of those, there was a hotline set up, and it wasn't cheap either. 1% of those were given a citation, chose to call the hotline. That hotline comes out to $7,000 cost to the state for every phone call that came into it. So you can ask yourself, how much of a success was that? Now here are the ODs, the overdose deaths in Oregon. See 2020? See how it jumps to 800? 2021, it goes even higher. And as of 2022, the last numbers we really have that are solid, almost 1,400 overdose deaths. Extraordinary. My guest now, Michael Bach, he's a private security guard in Portland. And Michael, good morning to you. How are you going to get this right?
Boys, I know it's a complicated issue. And last night, my coworkers saved the lives of two individuals out on the street from an overdose. How are we going to get this right? We have to go back to where we were. It seems like we're flirting with the solution. The solution is complicated. I get that. But we can't keep trying new ideas. What we had before was a lot better than what we have right now. Right now, we have people dying all over the place. Between 2018 and 2022, Multnomah County death statistics associated with fentanyl overdose rose 533%, as you just showed. Those are Multnomah County statistics. If it's me And in my opinion, we need to be targeting the dealers. All of this is coming from the dealers. The dealers are right now operating with absolute impunity. They're dealing one after the other. You would think it was a 7-Eleven. If you don't believe me, come right. I'll show you. You can sit next to me. We can watch. All over the place, one right after the other. They're doing it in schools. They're doing it in parking lots. They're doing it in playgrounds. They're doing it in churches. They're doing it in front of businesses. They're doing it in broad daylight, and nothing is stopping it. I understand that people are suffering from brutal addiction, and the idea was not to punish people who are already being punished by a brutal addiction, but with those arrests came a moment of reprieve. It came sobriety, forced sobriety, and it gave them the opportunity to step away from a dealer. It gave them the opportunity to think clear-headedly and about where they were going and about their life. These people aren't numbers. They're people that I call friends, people that I interact with on a daily basis. My coworkers, we're doing everything we can to point people in the right direction constantly, offering shelters, offering resources, offering a shoulder to cry on, quite frankly. The situation's out of hand, and we have got to get back to at least where we were before. It's pretty serious.
I'd like to take you up on your invitation to come out and see it myself, right along with you.
You're welcome.
You can help teach our viewers.
Oh, can they? Possibly.
I want to throw some things at you and get your reaction on this. Because there's some Democrats proposed to resist. I hear they want one or two guys. Here we go. Possession of a Class C misdemeanor up to 30 days in jail. Republicans like Class A misdemeanor up to 64 days in jail.
67
This is stunning here. Oregon overdose deaths among teenagers, 27 of 29 involved. That brings us to the point that, yeah, Michael, you've been talking about this. Other people have been talking about this. The issue is supply. The reason why I'm supply the issue is because it's cheap. And it's everywhere. You can mass produce it. And you see how easy it is to bring across our southern border.
Maybe.
It's 25 cents a pill right now. That's the street value. You can talk to people all over the place. It's 25 cents. Those numbers are just numbers on a page until you start meeting families, until you start getting to know people by name. And if I had the opportunity, I would reach out to Wesley's family and give them a hug, because Wesley lost the battle of addiction. We tried everything we could to get him pointed in a better direction. This is an incredibly powerful narcotic. It is one that will take people's ability to rationalize and make decisions properly. We have to do something different than what we're currently doing. The cities, the citizens, the community members, the stakeholders, everyone deserves better than this.
Who was Wesley?
Wesley was a man I befriended. I found him over many occasions, and over several years we talked over and over and over. And I said, Wesley, we got to get you into treatment. We need to get you into a place where you're doing better. Can we call your mom or your dad? I'll get you a ride to a hospital. We'll get you in treatment, whatever we got to do. And then I came to work one day recently, and I was told that Wesley died. And this is the reason. Excuse me. It's different when you can put a name and a face on a problem, isn't it? It's not just a number. These are our children. These are our friends and our neighbors. And we have to do different than this. Can't just keep walking over people.
Michael, thank you. Pray for you. Send you our best strength. We'll light a candle for you, and I'll see you in a place.
virus again. I have a problem with driver's license. Thank you.